I don't know if many of you have recently travelled on the A52 going out from Nottingham towards Grantham. And once you get beyond Grantham, about 10 miles the other side, you come to a small roundabout. And if you go straight on, you're going towards places like King's Lynn in Norfolk, Boston, Spalding, where I was originally from. And if you turn right, then you're going towards places like Peterborough or Stamford. But if you turn left, then you come to a village called Osbornby on the way to Sleaford. It's about a mile from the roundabout. And in this village, there's a pub called the Witchcote Inn, which is an old coaching inn, so it's at least 200 years old. And this is where Tom Holland has set up a storytelling club. Originally, it had been a folk singing club. And they started to have a storyteller in the middle for about 10 minutes. And it was so popular that it transformed from folk singing to a storytelling club. And it was quite successful. It met about once a month. And sometimes you only had 15 people there, but it was a really successful evening. There were 30 people there. There wasn't a lot of competition. The only other thing in the village is a history society, a gardening club, and a few activities for children. But Tom Holland, he managed to book probably the most successful storyteller at that time in the whole of the UK, none other than Jack Murphy. And he was really chuffed. These days, Jack Murphy was hardly ever to be seen in the UK. He was so popular outside, particularly in the Baltic countries like Helsinki in Finland and Tallinn in Estonia. And his big break had come when he was telling a story at a storytelling club in Beverley near Hull. Has anybody been there? Well, Yorkshire TV recorded his story. They were doing a feature all that week about the history, or the local history in that part of Yorkshire. And he was telling a true story of 15 fishermen who'd been saved out at sea when their boat had capsized, and the lifeboat that had rescued them, unfortunately, the leader of the lifeboat, he drowned. And this story just went viral. Hundreds of thousands of people on YouTube watched it. And Jack Murphy was a sort of sensation overnight. And even in places like Shimla, right up in the Himalayas, where it's a village, a place where the British used to rule India during the Second World War, before partition between India and Pakistan. And a hotel there booked Jack Murphy for a whole week. And people travelled there specifically, alongside the meditation and the yoga, to hear Jack Murphy tell his stories. And his fisherman stories were particularly what attracted folk to go there. So Tommy, he was really chuffed that Jack Murphy was coming to such a small storytelling club as the one at Osbornby at the Witchcote Inn. And he arrived at the venue, and he started to move all the tables out of the dining area with the landlord. And he was hoping to accommodate 100 people on the night. And he changed the light bulbs from ordinary white light bulbs into sort of red ones, he set up two spotlights, and the landlord gave him half a dozen candlestick holders, sort of brass ones in the shape of a snake, a cobra candlestick holder. And he had half a dozen of these. He was also an auctioneer as well as a landlord, and he got six candlestick holders called cobra candlestick holders, and six black candles. So there was Tom setting these up around the room. And Jack Murphy had said that he would arrive before 7 o'clock. Well, he got everything set out and people started to arrive. He publicised it on Facebook, and he knew that it was going to be popular. People were coming as far away as Buxton, Matlock. Half a dozen people crammed into a van to have come from Nottingham. And then places around Lincolnshire, such as Sleaford and Wisbeach and just over the border and Stamford. And they were getting quite excited when they walked in the door. There was a real atmosphere created with the very low, dimmed lighting. And it got to about 7:30, it was almost packed out already, and they were getting cheers from the garden to make up extra seating, and people were standing at the bar. This wasn't just any normal pub, it was a bit idiosyncratic. When you went to the bar, if you asked for, say, a Merlot or a Shiraz red wine, the landlord would give you a funny look. He said, "You either have red wine or you have white wine, which one do you want? Off the red, off the white." And there were about two choices of draft beer, and that was your lot, and two choices of lager. But the locals, they liked it. It was a place where the locals frequented and gossiped and caught up on what was happening. It got to about 7:30, and still no Jack Murphy. And Tom was getting a bit worried. He looked around the audience. He noticed there were a couple of people who could tell a story. If Jack Murphy didn't turn up, he could start with one at the beginning of the evening. But he'd have to pay back the money, and he charged £12 a head. It was normally £5, but Jack Murphy didn't come cheap. And he'd have to pay all this money back. And it got to about 8 o'clock, and he still hadn't arrived. And Tom was getting a bit twitchy, and he thought, "Well, I have to stand up, and I just have to apologise and say, unfortunately, Jack Murphy's not been able to make it. I'm here!" And this character, with his arms in the air, stood in the doorway, and all eyes were diverted toward Jack Murphy. And he cut a really striking figure. He had this black fedora hat on, sort of the really wide rimmed hat. And he wasn't your typical looking storyteller. He had a black leather jacket on with a crisp white shirt and stylish black trousers. He had that debonair, but sort of bad boy sort of look. And some of the women went sort of weak at the knees. And the men thought, "Well, yeah, I wouldn't mind having a drink with this guy. I'm here. I'm sorry I'm late. I got involved in a delay on the A1. There was a really bad accident, and this car was, well, it was crushed between two lorries, and an air ambulance actually landed on the A1. And both sides of the motorway were shut off. And I saw the air ambulance land, and they took this guy on a stretcher, and away went the air ambulance. And fortunately, I managed to get off at the A1 turn off at Melton Mowbray. And Osborne isn't an easy place to find, is it? But I managed to find my way here, and well, I'm sorry I'm late. just give me a few minutes. And he started to take his shoulder back off his right shoulder, and he took out all his CDs, which he was hoping to sell on the evening, put it on a little table by the bar. And he began his stories. He began with his classic tales of fishermen who had died in the storms over the decades in the North Sea, and the tales of those who had been rescued by the local lifeboatmen. And then he moved on to a story about a witch who'd been burned at the stake, and then they discovered the wrong person had been burnt. And he told a story about a poltergeist in this house, and the family were so scared that they moved out and they never came back again. And he had a break about 20 to 10, and his stories continued. And very unlike a storytelling club, at the end of the evening, about 20 past 10, there was a cacophony of clapping and cheering, and everyone stood up to applaud it. Such had been the success of the evening. He'd stretched their emotions from laughter to almost when they were squirming on their seats. But folk had enjoyed themselves. And Jack Murphy got up to leave, and Tom said, no, you can stay. He said, it's okay. The landlord, he's offered to put you up free for the night, and you'll get a cooked breakfast in the morning. And so I said, Jack, I've got to get away. I've got a gig in Brixton tomorrow evening, so I need to get back. I'll tell you what I'll do, he says. I'll ring you in the morning, and you can tell me how the evening's gone, which stores you think were well received, and which ones you might think I need to adapt in future. So I'll ring you in the morning. So Tom went to the car park, and he sped away in his car. And Tom was feeling good, and the barman, the landlord, he had a magnificent beam on his face. He'd had the best bar sales since he'd taken over as landlord 3 years ago. Such has been the success of the evening. And Tom gave him £40 for the hire of the room, and he started to change back the light bulbs to normal lights, and it helped the landlord put all the dining tables back in the cafe area. By the time he'd done all that and he got home, it was about 12:30. And, took him about an hour or so to relax and wind down, and eventually he fell asleep. And then about 8:15 in the morning, there was a sound of his mobile phone. Zzz, zzz. And he rubbed his eye, I think, what? Who can this be? So he picks up his mobile phone. Hello? Oh, hello, is that Tom? Yeah, Tom speaking. Yeah, this is Martin, it's Jack Murphy's brother. Oh, hello, Martin. Yeah, I've got a bit of bad news, Tom. Jack was involved with a bad accident on the A1 last night. All right. Well, thanks for telling me. He pauses. What time was that? Well, 6:30. The news is actually worse than that. He actually died in the crash. The air ambulance arrived, and he was alive when they got him on a stretcher and into the air ambulance, but By the time he arrived at the Queen's Medical Centre in Nottingham, well, he was dead on arrival. Martin paused and he said, "What time did you say?" "Yeah, he died at 6:30 p.m. Friday evening." "Thank you."